from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The NFL draft tonight. So Daniel Jeremiah, there are a million NFL draft analysts out. And some do. My guy, Justin Mello, who you probably have not heard of. He's not a Daniel Jeremiah. He's not a Dane Brugler. He's not a Mel Kiper. But what he does, he works for the Draft Network, and he did over 200 prospect interviews this season, just throughout the college season. 200. And publishes them all and writes them all up, transcribes them all. He does a great job. But then there's people like Dane Brugler, like Daniel Jeremiah, like Mel Kiper, who are the like trusted, like, hey, when these guys say something, it holds some kind of weight. And Daniel Jeremiah is my favorite of that group. And he has with the Raiders specifically. And what I love about Daniel Jeremiah is he combines his own. He's a very good analyst, like a draft analyst, like watching players and watching everything. And so I really trust his analysis and his big board and that kind of stuff. But then he also does the legwork of talking to teams and talking to scouts and talking to coaches and talking to GMs to kind of get an idea of what teams are thinking. So when he does his mocks, it's not what he thinks should happen. It's what he thinks will happen. And I say that to say his picks for the Raiders and Niners were fascinating in his final mock draft, which came out last night. And with the Raiders, he continues to connect them to Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. with the number 13 pick.
That's wild.
I'm very skeptical.
Really? I mean, like, it's such a Raider-esque pick, though.
Yeah, I don't even want, like,
I don't think he's going to be a bad player.
No. I'm not even so much knocking the idea of Michael Penix as a player. Like, he's had all the seasoning and ending injuries, and those are big red flags and stuff. But when you watch him play, you're like, oh, okay, that's an NFL quarterback. That guy should be able to play. Whether he can or can't, I don't know. But my bigger question for the Raiders, and if you're a Raider fan and you want to chime in, 916-909-1320, that's 916-909-1320, the Farmer's Dog Talk Line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. I don't know that a quarterback is the move for them. Do we feel like the Raiders are in a place that they can drop a rookie quarterback in? They just paid Gardner Minshew a bunch of money. So presumably you're going, okay, Minshew can start this year or start the first half of this year, whatever it is. And then if Penix is ready, you can put him in when you think he's ready, or maybe he just beats out Minshew in camp. I don't know. I did not, going into this draft, look at the Raiders spot at 13 and go, hey, that's a good spot for a quarterback. I don't think they're there from a team perspective, from a roster perspective. I am a proponent of build a roster, then drop the quarterback in. But on the other hand, I think it's such an important position that if they think that Michael Penix is that dude, if they are like, this is a franchise guy, I am not necessarily in that camp. But if the Raiders are, then it makes sense. It's not what I would do, but I'm also not sold that Michael Penix Jr. is a future Pro Bowl, All-Pro type quarterback.
Franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be your determination. What do we have in this draft in the top in the top 10, mm-hmm. like four quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, it's something like that. Like,
yeah,
and then Penix is like the fifth.
Yeah, depending on who you ask. It's a pretty clear Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy is the pretty clear top four.
Okay.
Based on all the analysis and mocks and stuff.
And they're going to go reasonably high, all of them, right? Like, we're projecting those guys to all be gone by like seven mm-hmm. or eight, right? Like in most mocks, unless I'm way off. Like, I don't think if you're the Raiders, you can afford to draft a guy who's maybe not one of the top five players, one of the top four,
yeah,
and that aren't considered a top 10.
Yeah.
Right? So it's tough, especially with Penix. Like, if you're a team who's ready-made and can drop in a quarterback from the sky like that,
mm-hmm.
he might be the guy because he does have all the tools. But the problem is, I don't think anyone out there thinks he's going to be a quarterback in the NFL for like 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking about major injuries, like major, major injuries that have ended multiple seasons.
Yes.
And he's also an older player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is he, 24, 23?
23 going on 24?
Yeah, he played in the college game, it felt like, for 500 years.
Right.
And you're like, man, this dude just keeps, he's still there. And, like, I don't think I'm gambling that much on an injury-prone guy, unfortunately for him. And catastrophic injuries. We're not talking like...
Yeah, season-ending...
Yeah, we're not talking about a guy who's pulled his hamstring a couple of times and you're like, oh, man, he misses games. We're talking about a guy who's, like, gone through some battles,
yeah.
like multiple, like, major injuries. So that's tough, man. That's tough. If they were in the top five, or in the top seven, eight, and they were going to get one of those top four guys, that's one thing. If not, that team needs to build their offensive line. They need to build their defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They need to build the team the right way. That is how you build an NFL winner, is in the trenches.
On the other hand, I want to put a pin in that point because this is a momentous day for our show.
Oh.
Mitch in New Jersey is on the line.
Oh my goodness.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, my God, this must be a lucky day. I better go play the pick four, pick three. What number should I pick?
Yeah, no, this is big time, Coach. I finally happen to have the phones up and unblocked, and you are available to call our program. This is huge.
Well, you're doing a lot of things at once, so I think you guys deserve a raise.
About
this draft.
Thanks, Mitch.
I just hope the core, even the Rays don't get a Penix. I think there's like 7-8 quarterbacks coming in the first round next year, but it's a win now team. Get Penix, hopefully it'll be Penix or Knicks by the second round, and I'm hoping the Chargers draft Bowers, the tight end. And thanks, Jim and Cole. I hope I can do this again.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, Mitch, please do. Thanks. Brock Bowers at 5 would be pretty nuts. I don't hate it because I really like Brock Bowers as a prospect. There was a point where I got DeLulu this college season. Delusional for people who don't know what DeLulu is. I got a little bit delusional and I was like, well, maybe positional value will drop Brock Bowers to where the 49ers are picking. Whether that was going to be in the late 20s, early 30s, whatever. And it didn't. I think he's going to go early. And he'd be fun on the Chargers, but it feels like the Chargers are taking an offensive lineman. Again, based on analysis from people smarter than me.
Okay.
Sounds like they're going offensive line. Would you be a Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman pick for sure?
No, I mean, that makes sense. What they shouldn't do is draft a quarterback that everyone keeps murmuring about, like the whole like fake buzz.
Oh, that they're going to trade Justin Herbert?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think that's happening.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that's a thing that's going to happen. As far as the Michael Penix stuff, here's where you talk about team building, and I'm with you in that you want to build out through the trenches first, right?
Yes.
Or the Raiders, I think, our guy Dr. David, where did his message go? I meant to star it and forgot. But he listed out like a bunch of positions that he said they need offensive line help, cornerback help, tight end, and linebacker. Like, they're in a spot where the best player on their board should go at 13 because that player can help them in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But on the other hand, the other side of that coin, while we can sit here, you and me, and go, hey, they need to build trench help. They help their defensive line a lot by adding Christian Wilkins. That was big.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The second level is just such a big deal. Maybe they can add a linebacker. They need guys who can cover. I understand all that. But if the Las Vegas Raiders and Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce and Mark Davis are watching Michael Penix and interviewing Michael Penix and meeting with Michael Penix and going, man, this is a franchise quarterback. This is that dude. If they are of that belief, that even though he's 23, he turns 24 on May 8th, so about a week after the draft. If they are of the mind that he is a franchise quarterback, then you have to take him. You have to. It may be, they may or may not be right, but to me, the quarterback position is so important in the NFL. Now, they can't take him because they go, hey, you know what? We need a young quarterback. No, that's not, you don't do that. If you just want a young quarterback in your building, then find one later. Don't use the 13th freaking pick on him. But if they, with conviction, believe that Michael Penix Jr. from the University of Washington is going to be the Raiders quarterback for the next decade, who's going to win playoff games for them, if that's their belief, then you take him. And you figure everything else out later.
No, I agree with all of that. I do.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is that I'm not going into a draft, and as a team who can't miss, at this point, you can't miss. You need talent.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take a guy with that many injury question marks, in my opinion. I just, like, the longevity, everything. I mean, he's blown his right ACL twice. Like, that's just, it's really difficult to, like, look at that guy and say, hey, look, he's going to be able to piece it together and string a long career together. Now, again, if you're going to build around somebody, I also don't think that the Raiders should be drafting a second, third, fourth round quarterback unless that guy has a really legitimate shot to be a star as well, because that's just kind of like where they're stuck with, right? They're stuck in this perpetual, they can't find the right guy at quarterback thing. And they have been that way for a while, you know. Sure, Carr was their guy, but after that, and even like before that, they couldn't find the guy. So if you're going to find a guy that you think is the dude, you got to be right, and you can't just like waste top tier picks.
Okay, and this is where, so Dad EC in the chat said, the Raiders feel that is Jaden Daniels and nobody else, that franchise guy. Then if you can't trade up and get Jaden Daniels, then you're not taking a quarterback this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you do, I think that on late on day two, early on day three, if there's a quarterback you like there as a potential project, then yeah, go get him. Russell Wilson was a third round pick. Obviously, you got like Tom Brady and Brock Purdy, and there's undrafted success stories.
No, of course there are.
Tony Romo. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, you throw that dart there. Like, throw that dart on day two or three.
Yeah.
Not with the 13th pick because you missed out on Jaden Daniels. And so you're going, hey, we need a quarterback. Let's just take one in the first round. That's bad drafting.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I'm sorry, let me back up. That's bad process.
Yeah.
If they're not convicted that Michael Penix Jr. is a franchise guy, and they're taking him because, yeah, we just need a quarterback, that's bad process. And maybe it works out. Maybe it works out. But I don't believe they should be doing that.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
I'm kind of the same. Like, I think that there are players that you could draft there. I think there are good enough quarterbacks in this. Again, if one of these other guys falls to you at number 13, there are quarterbacks that are good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And Penix might be that guy too. Like, I don't want to just like throw the guy out because of injury.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it's a risk to take a quarterback in the top 13 already.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a risk to take a quarterback who's like the fourth or fifth rated quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother risk when you add all that up and then you throw in the just massive amount of injuries this young guy has gone through. And I'm not saying like throw Michael Penix out, but Michael Penix in the second round, perfectly fine taking him there.
Sure.
But hit number 13 when you should be grading out at like a star level player.
Right. Which maybe they have him there.
Okay.
Maybe they internally believe that Michael Penix Jr. is the second best quarterback in the class.
Yeah.
If Jaden Daniels is their first.
Okay.
But man, that's like you said, there's always risk. There's risk in every draft pick. But when you start throwing the injury red flag in there, that upticks that risk tenfold.
Yes.
So, as for the 49ers, I have no clue. I did a radio hit in Portland yesterday, not to brag. Shout out to my guy, Judah. And he goes, "Who are they picking at 31?
Hmm.
I wish that I could, because it's my job, I wish I could get on here and say they are definitely taking Darius Robinson from Missouri. The defensive end from Missouri. Like, they're definitely taking him. But, dude, you've got Daniel Jeremiah saying it's going to be Xavier Worthy, the record-breaking 40-time, or he broke the record for 40-time at the Combine this year. You've got other people saying that it's going to be an offensive lineman, a guy like Jordan Morgan or Roger Rosengarten. That's who Mel Kiper has had going to the 49ers. There are just a million ways they could go here. And what I don't think they're going to do, just real quick, this is easier for me. There's going to be like maybe a defensive end or two that falls to them, either Darius Robinson, yep. Chop Robinson. Anyways, Chop Robinson, defensive end from Penn State. But I think the thing that's not going to happen is I don't think they're going to take a cornerback. I've seen a lot of really smart people sending a corner to the 49ers because it's one of their team needs.
But they never draft a cornerback in the first round.
That's it.
They never do.
They've never drafted a quarterback under John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan in the second round.
Mm.
66 is the earliest they've taken a corner, and that was Akello Witherspoon in 2017, their first draft. Since then, Ambry Thomas at 102 is the earliest they've drafted a corner.
Oh, that's crazy, dude.
They've taken one corner with a top 100 pick under Kyle Shanahan.
I feel like cornerbacks and wide receivers, they're both the same, and that it's almost a coin flip if they're going to work out or not. And they're just such high risk, high reward. You can look at a defensive lineman or offensive lineman in the first round and like hit or miss, you're probably 65-35 like hit, right? You start getting into the wide receivers, you start getting into the defensive backs, and it might even be less than like 40-60. Like it's not a good gamble. And so I get it. I mean, there are some guys that you can't miss at all on, but I always find it interesting where they have had opportunities to draft, whether it's a cornerback or it's a big time safety, and they pass. They just go, nah, we'll get somebody else in the sixth round. We're good.
Yeah, it's a positional value thing. They look at corner and they build their defense front to back, right? So they're going, hey, our pass rush is going to be this good. Our linebackers are going to be this good, where the bar for cornerback play is lowered.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we're going to fix that is we're going to throw a bunch of third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round draft picks, mid to late round draft picks at the problem, and hope that one of them comes out a starter. Diamante Lenore, good player, fifth rounder. They had to go sign Charvarius Ward in free agency because they needed something. But now you look at their cornerback room, it's like, okay, Darrell Luter Jr., who didn't play a lot this year, he's going to be a second year player.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get to play a lot, but he's going to be in the mix. Ambry Thomas, they're going to give him another shot. Samuel Womack, another fifth round pick. They're going to give him another shot. And they'll probably draft another corner this year. I just don't think it'll be in the first round.
No. If I'm with you.
Yeah. I could see them trading back if there's a really good corner there. There guys like Kool-Aid, a guy named Kool-Aid.
I know. I just saw him.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, who has a Jones fracture, by the way. He's dealing with a foot injury to boot. No pun intended. If a player like that's available, you might see the Niners trade back. But I think it's unless a offensive lineman they really love falls to them, I think they go with the defensive lineman, the best available defensive lineman, and call it good.
I love boring, the fact that there's a guy named Kool-Aid.
Yeah, Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's a good player, too.
Yeah, I mean, they have him projected number 29 in the mock draft I'm looking at, going to the Lions at number 29.
Yeah.
What about, would you, if you're the Niners, would you move up in this draft?
Only in very specific instances.
Okay.
If a player like, let's say, so there's Johnny Newton from Illinois, good interior defensive lineman, or Byron Murphy, who I don't think is going to slide. He's slid in mock drafts, but from when you hear people who talk to NFL people, he's going to go earlier than the mock draft. The mock draft. What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know, like the collective
society collective.
Yeah, like if like
there's a word I'm looking for that I can't put my finger on right now. But the general mock draft people.
Yeah, yeah.
Have it wrong with Byron Murphy. He's going to go earlier than they think. But if a player, if a really good interior lineman like that starts to fall to like 26, 27, you might see the Niners jump up and try and get above the Lions to grab him. If a really good offensive lineman happens to fall, or a player that the Niners think can start right away, and I don't think he's going to get to 31. You might see him hop up, but I don't think they're going to trade up for like a receiver,
okay,
or certainly not a corner or any kind of defensive back, or not a linebacker. I think it would have to be a really specific player or two that fell that would push them to trade up. If anything, the problem, I think they would probably trade back before they traded up.
Okay.
Just when you look at the tiers of offensive linemen and what their needs are on the offensive front. But I think if you can move back and snag an extra pick in 2025 or a mid-round pick in 2024, I think you can make your team better that way without reaching for somebody at 31.
Okay. Yeah, so for me, if I'm the Niners, I am addressing offensive line early and often. Like, and I think you can probably get like one of the better guards in the league, one of the better guards in the draft, one of the better centers in the draft, mm-hmm, in the first round, whether it's 31 or moving up like into the mid 20s or something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like you can still get a player like that in the early second round, like, okay.
That makes sense
to move back.
And I struggle with this a little bit because on the other hand, it's like, just get your guy.
Yeah.
If there's a player you like, just take him. And that's where the Keegan Murray thing. Like, oh, you could have traded back and still gotten or you could just take him. Trade back may or may not be there. So I think the Niners will look to do that. But if there's no team willing to do business, you don't just move back, go, hey, somebody take this pick from us. And no, you have to get some kind of value out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my ultimate prediction is I think they stand at 31 and take the best available defensive lineman and call it good.
Okay.
I think that's how it's going to go.
All right. Yeah, I'm intrigued. I want to see how this all plays out on, you know, tonight. And then, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but I'm so used to the NBA draft and how it's built, right? And how it's like it's structured.
Yes.
And then the NFL draft is, it's so many players.
It is a lot of players.
We're talking about, 32 teams in 7 rounds. So you're talking about, 257
this year.
257?
Yeah, with compensatory picks.
Oh, compensatory picks. Jesus.
Yeah. So you got to throw those in, too.
That is so many players. And, you know, I'm used to, you might mock, if you're going to do a second-round mock, you might mock 65, 70.
Uh-huh.
But not that many. That's so many players for the NBA. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.